He wasn't just fast, he made time Neo. From a barefoot boy racing goats through the hills of Jamaica, to the world's greatest sprinter who danced before the gun and smiled through the storm. Usain Bolt didn't just break records, he rewrote what humans believed was possible. But behind the gold medals and roaring stadiums lies a deeper story of pain, pressure, failure, and faith. This is not just the tale of a man who ran faster than anyone in history. This is the legacy of lightning and what happens when it stops. Welcome to the History of the Caribbeans podcast. If you haven't already, please consider following us on your favorite podcast platform. Today, we present to you Usain Bolt, A Journey Through Time, Episode 4. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 13, The Last Race. Even gods have final chapters. Even legends hear the ticking clock. And when you've spent your life defying time, shattering it, bending it, outrunning it, there comes a moment when you must do something harder than winning. You must say goodbye. For Usain Bolt, that moment came in 2017, in the same city where his greatness had been forever crowned. London. The place where he'd once raised two fingers and claimed double Olympic gold was now the setting for his final bow. He came not as a king seeking another title, but as a man seeking closure. A farewell announced. Months before the IAAF World Championships, Bolt confirmed it. This would be his last competition. No comeback. No drama. Just a final curtain call. The announcement sent shockwaves through the sports world. Fans begged him to reconsider. Sponsors offered new deals. Broadcasters planned tributes. Stadiums sold out faster than ever before. Because people knew. They weren't just coming to watch a race. They were coming to witness the end of an era. The pressure of goodbye. The weight of legacy is a strange thing. It's not measured in pounds or medals. It's measured in expectation. Bolt entered London, already immortal. But still, the whispers returned. Can he go out on top? Can he hold off the younger, hungrier sprinters? Will the legend finish like a champion, or fade like so many before him? Bolt heard the murmurs. Of course he did. But he didn't respond with fire. He responded with peace. I'm at ease, he told the press. I've done what I came to do. Now I just want to enjoy it. But deep down he wanted one last thing. To leave the sport as the fastest man on earth. The 100-meter final, a kingdom tested. August 5, 2017. The atmosphere in London's Olympic Stadium was surreal, part celebration, part funeral. People wore Bolt shirts, painted his pose across their cheeks, chanted his name between heats. Bolt, Bolt, Bolt. In the semifinals, he didn't look dominant. He looked human, sluggish off the blocks. A delayed reaction, but he still made it through. As the final approached, eight men lined up. Among them, Christian Coleman, the young American prodigy. Justin Gatlin, the veteran rival, hungry for redemption. And Usain Bolt, standing tall in lane five. Set. Bang. Bolt's start was poor. Coleman rocketed ahead. Bolt surged, powerful, desperate, clawing back inches with each stride. But this time, the finish came too soon. He crossed in third. 9.95 seconds. Behind Gatlin and Coleman. The stadium gasped. And then something unexpected happened. Gatlin knelt before Bolt. The crowd booed at first, unaware. Then they saw. The gesture was not mockery. It was reverence. An old warrior, in his own moment of triumph, paying homage to the man who had made him better by beating him for years. Bolt hugged him. Smiled, waved to the crowd, and though he didn't win the gold, he won the moment. The final race, relay heartbreak. There was still one race left. The 4x 100-meter relay. Jamaica's last hope. Bolt's last chance. Nesta Carter, Julian Forte, Johan Blake, and anchoring it all, Usain Bolt. The race began. Clean exchanges. The baton reached Blake. He passed it clean to Bolt. And then, pain. Midway through the anchor leg, Bolt grabbed his hamstring and stumbled. He tried to push through, tried to limp, to fight, to finish. But his body gave out. He fell to the track. The stadium fell silent. The fastest man in history had fallen. Not beaten, broken. Medical staff ran toward him, but Bolt waved them off. He stood, he walked, and the crowd rose slowly, reverently, like standing for royalty. No one booed. No one left. They knew. A pain beyond injury. Later, it was revealed that Bolt had suffered a torn hamstring. Some accused the relay organizers of delaying the race, causing his muscles to cool too long. Others blamed age. But Bolt blamed no one. "It's just life," he said. "The body has limits." But inside, he was hurting. Not from the injury, but from the finality. He had wanted to finish on his feet, to fly one last time. Instead, he was carried off the track by teammates. And for a man who had built his life on motion, stillness was the cruelest ending. The legend walks away. There was no grand ceremony, no official retirement party, just a press conference, a few photos, and Bolt saying with a calm smile, "This is it. I'm done." But the world couldn't let go. Tributes poured in from every corner of the globe. Athletes, presidents, celebrities, kids. "Thank you, Bolt. Not just for the records, but for the joy, for the swagger, for showing us that greatness could laugh, that speed could smile, that champions could be kind. The fall that lifted us all." In a way, his final race wasn't a defeat. It was a reminder that beneath all the medals and records was a man, a human being, vulnerable, tired, still giving everything. Even in the fall, he rose. Because when Bolt limped to his feet, he reminded the world that grace is not in how you win, but in how you let go. And so, the track grew quiet, the spikes came off, the baton was passed, and the lightning faded. But in its place came thunder, the echo of a legacy too big to ever vanish. Usain Bolt did not get the perfect ending, but he got something better. He got the truth. He reminded us that no matter how high you rise, you must eventually return to Earth. And when you do, do it with your head high, with peace in your soul, and fire still flickering in your chest. Chapter 14, Life Beyond the Track. When the stadium lights dim and the spikes are hung, a silence sets in. Not the kind of silence that follows applause. The other kind. The deeper kind. The kind that asks, "Now who are you, when you're not who you used to be?" For Usain Bolt, life after sprinting didn't begin with a bang. It began with stillness. A stillness he hadn't felt in nearly 20 years. No early morning sprints. No pressure to shave milliseconds. No calendar built around competitions, qualifiers, or championships. He was free. But freedom, real freedom, is disorienting, especially when your entire identity was motion. The morning after immortality. The first few weeks after his final race felt surreal. Bolt returned to Jamaica and tried to do what everyone told him to do. Rest. Sleep in. Eat what he wanted. Relax. But something was missing. The routine. The purpose. The momentum. He wasn't used to waking up without a goal measured in seconds. He wasn't used to walking through airports without a finish line waiting somewhere in the world. And he wasn't prepared for the question that lingered in the back of his mind. What does a man built for speed become when the race is over? The search for stillness. There's a kind of grief that follows retirement. Not just for the spotlight, but for the structure. Bolt had spent most of his life being told where to be, what to eat, how to train. Every day had a rhythm. Every action had a goal. Now, days blurred. He tried traveling more, visiting Europe, the U.S., island hopping in the Caribbean. But vacations didn't fill the void. He spent time in clubs, hung out with celebrities, laughed, danced, partied. But fame felt different now, less like a crown, more like a costume. The world still saw the fastest man alive. But Bolt was beginning to feel something else, the man who no longer runs. It wasn't depression. It wasn't despair. It was drift, like a boat without wind. The business of becoming. Bolt knew he couldn't stay idle forever. He was too ambitious, too restless, too wired for progress. So he turned his energy toward building a business empire. He launched several ventures. Bolt Mobility, an electric scooter company aimed at sustainable urban travel. Trax and Records, a restaurant and sports bar franchise celebrating Jamaican culture and cuisine. The Usain Bolt Foundation, a philanthropic arm focused on education and opportunities for children and young athletes. Endorsement extensions with Puma, Gatorade, and Hublot. He also explored music, a longtime passion, and began producing tracks under his own label. He wasn't trying to reinvent himself as a businessman or artist. He was simply expanding into the spaces he had long ignored. "I want to enjoy life now," he told reporters, "not just exist in the shadow of what I did." Fatherhood, a new sprint. Then, in 2020, something shifted again. This time, not on a track or in a boardroom, but in a delivery room. Bolt became a father. His daughter, Olympia Lightning Bolt, arrived like the quiet dawn after a stormy decade. And for the first time, Bolt's world didn't revolve around finish lines. It revolved around feedings and lullabies and tiny footsteps echoing in hallways. He held her with the same arms that once broke world records. He whispered stories into her ears about mango trees, barefoot races, and lightning made human. Olympia gave him a kind of purpose he had never known before. Not public, not performative, personal. "I want her to know me not as the fastest," he said, "but as the most present, the role of a mentor." As the years passed, Bolt began stepping into a quieter, more powerful role: mentor. He visited schools, coached clinics, spoke to young athletes not just about winning, but about failing, recovering, and loving the sport without letting it consume them. He reminded them that records fade, but joy endures. He warned them against shortcuts, spoke openly about pressure, about injuries, about loneliness, about the cost of being worshipped. He didn't want to be remembered as invincible. He wanted to be remembered as real. The global stage revisited. Bolt continued to receive honors long after his final race. Statues were unveiled in Kingston, streets renamed. He was given the Order of Jamaica, the Order of Distinction, and numerous honorary degrees. He attended events as a guest of honor, waving from balconies, lighting torches, delivering speeches. And always, wherever he went, people asked the same thing: "Don't you miss it?" He would smile, sometimes nod, sometimes shrug, then say, "I miss the feeling, yes, but I don't miss the pressure. I did what I came to do. Now I just want to live." Legacy beyond the clock. Bolt's true legacy could never be measured in seconds. Not 9.58, not 19.19. His legacy lived in the faces of the children running barefoot through the hills of Jamaica, dreaming big because one of their own had shown them the sky was within reach. It lived in the music of Caribbean pride, in the international conversations about Black excellence and grace under pressure. It lived in the idea that joy is a weapon and kindness can be power. He had made greatness look fun, and in doing so, he had changed what greatness meant. The echo that remains: there are no more starting blocks for Bolt. No medals left to win. No stadiums to conquer. But his story, his truth, still runs. Through generations. Through headlines. Through hearts. Because when the man stopped sprinting, the myth kept moving. Chapter 15, Legacy of Lightning. A legacy is not what you leave behind when you die. It's what you plant while you're still alive. Seeds that grow long after you've stopped moving. Branches that stretch beyond medals, beyond finish lines, into something timeless. Usain Bolt didn't just run. He reshaped how the world imagined greatness. And now, years removed from his final race, his footsteps still echo in stadiums, classrooms, living rooms, and hearts across every continent. The lightning had stopped striking, but its energy, it still lit the world. More than records, it's easy to remember the numbers. 9.58 seconds in the 100 meters, still unbeaten. 19.19 seconds in the 200 meters, untouched since 2009. 8 Olympic gold medals. Countless world records, victories, accolades. But numbers don't tell the story. Emotion does. It was the way he made people feel, that tingling anticipation when he lined up, the roar that erupted the moment he took off, the spine-tingling disbelief at how effortless it all looked. He reminded us of something the world often forgets, that greatness can be joyful, that dominance doesn't have to be ruthless, that the fastest man in history can also be the most loved, the pulse of a nation. Jamaica gave Bolt his roots, but Bolt gave Jamaica a megaphone. He put a small island on the front page of the world's most prestigious sporting newspapers. He turned yellow, green, and black into symbols of defiance, rhythm, and excellence. At every Olympic Games, Jamaican fans didn't just show up, they took over. Drums, horns, dancing. Flags turned into capes. Chanting, laughter, tears. Not just pride in Bolt, but pride in self. In culture. In origin. Bolt was never shy about where he came from. He didn't try to Americanize his accent. He didn't trade humility for Hollywood. He stayed Caribbean to the core, cool, confident, vibrant. He ran with Bob Marley in his veins, patois on his tongue, and sunshine in his stride. And in doing so, he made every Jamaican child believe they didn't have to leave home to make history. Home could be the birthplace of miracles. Inspiration across borders. Bolt's impact wasn't confined to Jamaica. Across Africa, Asia, the Americas, children began striking the lightning bolt pose. Track programs doubled in enrollment. Schools bought new stopwatches. Communities built makeshift sprinting lanes in dusty fields. In places where soccer once reigned without question, kids began racing each other during lunch breaks, yelling, "Mia Bolt, Yesaya catch me." In cities where hope was rationed, Bolt became proof that magic could come from humble beginnings. In villages without shoes, he made bare feet feel like wings. He showed the world what raw, unfiltered talent, given the right soil and sunlight, could become. He taught them that greatness was not genetic. Greatness could be grown, redefining the champion. Before Bolt, the champion was seen as intense, focused, silent, grim. After Bolt, the champion laughed. The champion danced. The champion waved to the crowd before the race even started. He ran as though joy itself was fueling him. He made the pre-race ritual into theater, bouncing on his toes, mouthing lyrics, giving playful glances to the camera, smirking like he already knew the ending. And then, boom, he'd explode down the track and leave even physics gasping for breath. In a world obsessed with grit and grind, Bolt reintroduced fun. He reminded athletes everywhere that winning didn't require self-punishment, that excellence and enjoyment could coexist. He made running feel like music, and everyone danced with him. The symbolism of Bolt. Bolt became more than a man. He became a symbol of black excellence that wasn't angry, of Caribbean pride that didn't apologize, of youthful power that didn't need permission. He stood tall in a world that often told tall, black men to shrink. He smiled in a world that often demanded stoicism. And he won over and over, without cheating, without hate, without bitterness. In doing so, he inspired not just future runners. He inspired artists, musicians, entrepreneurs, poets, teachers, activists, anyone who ever felt underestimated. Because Bolt wasn't just a story of speed. He was a story of self-belief. The legacy in silence. In the years after retirement, Bolt's absence on the track created a void. Not just of speed, but of presence. The races felt quieter. Faster athletes emerged, yes, but the spectacle was missing. The charm. The theater. The connection. And it became clear. Bolt hadn't just won medals. He had carried the sport. He had made people care. And that, perhaps, is the rarest legacy of all. Mentorship, music, and fatherhood. Bolt's post-track life continued to unfold. He invested in startups, produced music under his label, raised his children with quiet devotion. He mentored young Jamaican athletes, not just with tips on form, but with lessons on patience, focus, and joy. He released an album. He stayed involved, but never too loud. He didn't crave the camera anymore. He didn't try to relive the past. He simply lived, intentionally, peacefully. Statues and immortality. In 2017, a bronze statue of Bolt was unveiled at the National Stadium in Kingston. It captured his iconic pose, one arm stretched toward the sky, one across his chest, body twisted mid-celebration. At the ceremony, Bolt said only this, "Me glad people love me." But more than that, "Me glad me made them believe in themselves." That statue doesn't just represent a man. It represents a moment in human history when we saw, with our own eyes, someone defy what we thought was possible. It reminds us that every record has a story, and every story has a soul. What remains? Usain Bolt will be remembered, not just for being fast, but for being free, for being a force, for being the proof that lightning, when bottled inside a boy from the hills of Trelawney, could become art. He once said, "I don't think limits exist." And perhaps that's the truest sentence ever spoken on a track. Because his legacy is not just in medals. It's in mindset. It's in children who now believe they can. It's in moments that still move us long after the clock has stopped. Chapter 16, The Day the Lightning Stopped. Every legend has a last beat. Every storm, a final crash. Every force of nature, a fading echo. And so, after decades of igniting stadiums and shaking the air with every stride, there came a moment in time, a date unmarked on calendars but felt across the world, when the world collectively whispered, "The lightning has stopped." It didn't happen in a stadium, not on a podium, not beneath floodlights or to the sound of a starter pistol. It happened in the quiet. And like all powerful endings, it didn't arrive with a roar. It arrived with a stillness. The man who was motion. For most of his life, Usain Bolt existed as a blur, a streak of limbs and joy and thunder through time. When he moved, clocks surrendered. When he smiled, the world smiled back. He wasn't just an athlete. He was a living metaphor of possibility, of flight, of freedom. But now, the shoes were no longer tied. The spikes lay silent, the lanes untouched, and the world used to seeing him fly was learning to live without the rhythm of his run. The quiet that followed. After the final race in 2017, after the tearful farewell and the final applause, Bolt retreated from the public eye for a while. Not entirely. He still smiled for cameras, still laughed with fans, still made appearances. But something had shifted. He wasn't chasing. He wasn't being chased. He simply was. It was beautiful, but it was strange. Because what is a comet when it stops streaking across the sky? What becomes of a man whose very existence was motion? The lightning in the mirror. In his quiet moments, those early mornings in Jamaica, sipping coffee as the sun climbed the sky, Bolt found himself asking questions he never had time for before. Not about speed, not about records, but about worth. Who am I now? What remains when the cheering fades? He saw his face on currency, on murals, on children's shirts, on stadium walls. But in the mirror, he saw a man with no stopwatch, no finish line, just memory and meaning. And for a while, he had to learn how to walk again, not with legs, but with intention. The world adjusts. Around the globe, the sport of track and field carried on. Races still ran. Medals still changed hands. Records were challenged, some even broken, but Bolt's numbers still stood like stone pillars in shifting sands. Commentators spoke of the post-Bolt era. Younger sprinters were called the next Bolt, a burden none could carry. And the sport, for all its evolution, never quite recaptured the electricity. Because Bolt didn't just bring speed. He brought story. He brought magic. And magic, once lived, can't be replicated. It can only be remembered. The final gift. In retirement, Bolt began speaking less about what he'd done and more about what others could do. He wasn't writing memoirs. He was writing letters with his life. To the poor child who believes they're too small to be seen. To the teenager who doubts their potential. To the athlete who questions whether joy belongs in competition. To the generation that follows, Bolt's final gift wasn't a record. It was permission. Permission to run. To laugh. To dominate with dignity. To win without losing yourself. Lightning in every soul. Bolt's name will be studied for centuries. In sports documentaries, in classrooms, in highlight reels and motivational speeches. But that's not where his true power lives. His real legacy lives in the ordinary moments. In the child who runs through the street with arms outstretched, yelling, "I'm Bolt." In the grandfather who still tears up watching the 9.58 race on YouTube. In the young girl who sees Bolt's humility and learns that strength doesn't mean silence. In the coach who reminds a nervous kid that the fastest man alive once came from a dusty road in Trelawney. His power lives not just in speed. It lives in the permission to believe. The lightning doesn't die, it spreads. When Bolt stopped running, it felt like the end. But in truth, it was just the beginning of a longer, quieter legacy. He became a father again. He became a mentor again. He became a human again. And in doing so, he made space for new lightning to form. He reminded us all that legends are not defined by how long they shine, but by how deeply they light the world. And so, it ended. No, not with a race, not with a roar, but with a truth. The day the lightning stopped was the day the world began to glow, not in his absence, but in the light he left behind.